relationships are everything. And there's a constant refrain throughout this whole book where Paul is talking about them as my dear friends. He says, you are my true companions. And he also says, you are friends of the cross of Christ. He's just finished talking about a group of people who he described as enemies of the cross of Christ. But he's saying that you are friends of the cross of Christ. So if you're here this morning and I want to, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, look at the cross of Jesus will tell you everything you need to know. It will tell you about the love of God. You cannot bypass the cross. And the cross is horrible, and the cross is beautiful. The cross is about pain. The cross is about separation from God, which God's Son went through on our behalf. But that's because sin is horrible and because disobedience to God, who created the world in love, is such a big issue that his only Son would go to the cross for us. And so when we make the cross of Jesus Christ the center of our lives, when we are not ashamed of the cross of Christ, but are actually delighted in the cross of Christ, then we are right in the center of the pathway to God and peace with other people. Do you know peace in your life? How do we find peace? In your head, in your thought life, is it a peaceful place or is it a busy place with anxiety and fretting and insecurity? The way to find peace in the mind is to focus your mind on the cross of Jesus Christ. How to know the peace of God. To know the peace of God, you need to know the God of peace. And the God of peace is the one who, although our sins separated us from him, he makes us friends. And he says in his word that Jesus Christ is our peace. And when we put our trust in him, we become friends with God through the cross. And we become friends with people that we would never on a month of Sundays have anything to do with. You see, the family of the church is full of people who have one thing in common, which is greater than everything which separates us, everything that makes us different from each other. And that one thing is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have come to believe that God gave his Son for us, that we could be forgiven, and that we could have eternal life. Do you know that peace? Do you know that God of peace? Are there things in your life which are taking away your peace, and you just long to have that peace again in your mind and in your heart? The answer, my friends, is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you're not going through it now, there will be a time in your life where you will go through it, because everyone goes through it. I haven't met anyone who has not had a relationship problem with their parents, with their children, with their neighbors, with their boss at work, with the people even in the church. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, there's good news for conflict resolution when you make Jesus your friend. Because with Jesus, you have forgiveness. Sometimes we're in a relationship and we just feel like giving up. We feel like walking away. Love never gives up. So much of life is based on performance. God's love is not based on performance. God loves us when we don't deserve it. The Christian life shaped by the cross of Christ is so radical, it's so different from everything out there that it is such good news. And if we allow the cross of Christ to transform us, our relationships will be transformed as a result. So when Paul is in prison, he would just love to be there in person, but he can't be in person. So he's sending a message. And he's sending it in public, which must have been so painful in some ways for these two ladies, because he publicly named the problem. And I guess it was because he couldn't be there in person. But in that whole letter, the whole letter of Philippians, which is, I think, just a tremendous letter, he's actually given loads of reasons why you must reconcile. The first reason why you must reconcile as Christians is for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, agree. Doesn't say agree about the issue. We can have freedom to disagree. It's okay to disagree. There's lots of things as Christians that we can disagree on. We can even disagree on theology, on some secondary issues. Maybe we'll have a disagreement as to whether it's a primary issue or a secondary issue. But there's lots of diversity in even how Christians interpret this book on some difficult questions. But we still need to get that main message across, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was crucified, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that there is no other way that we can have a relationship with God except through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the central message. That is the gospel. And what Paul keeps saying throughout this wonderful letter, he's saying it's about partnership in the Lord. It's about partnership in the gospel. And he says, agree in the Lord. You might disagree on the issue, but agree in the Lord. And it's as if he's saying that between these two women, if the Lord Jesus was to stand between them, it would change everything, wouldn't it? Because don't we sing the song, you know, when we look into the face of Jesus, that the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And if the Lord Jesus was there in person, standing in front of them, it would be the end of the quarrel. There would be a reconciliation, 100% guaranteed. But what we have here is that we have this letter which is telling us it's not just because of the Lord Jesus, it's because of the gospel itself. It's because of the gospel itself. And in this letter, he's saying, in chapter 1, verse 27, he's saying, live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. See, everything in it that's coming into chapter 4 has been said before. He says, live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And these two ladies were very, very important in the founding of the church. Paul says that they contended at his side for the cause of the gospel. What does that mean? That means that they were out there with Paul evangelizing in the town of Philippi. When Paul and Silas were thrown into prison and Euodia and Syntyche were there, when the slave girl was converted and the jailer was converted, they were there. And there was such an opposition that came across on that little church which was mainly women at the beginning. Remember, Lydia was converted, the ladies who were at the river, and Euodia and Syntyche were part of that, and they didn't just have a Bible study, they got out there and they shared the word of God. They shared the good news. And they were there with Paul. And he says, they contended at my side for the cause of the gospel. But now, the sending out of the message of Jesus there's a danger that they're going to stop sharing that good news because all the energy is focused on the quarrel. It must have been, because why would he mention it? Paul very rarely mentions people by name in his letters. So it must have been such a big deal for him to do that. It must have been holding back the work of spreading the good news about Jesus. So you do it because you reconcile because of the Lord Jesus and your common relationship with him. You do it for the sake of the gospel. That which we preach and that which we practice, there must be a consistency. If we're preaching about God's free forgiveness and we don't practice it, it's not credible. The other reason why they need to reconcile is for the peace of the church, because there were some younger believers there. And remember, Euodia and Syntyche, they were pioneers. They were there at the beginning. And other people have joined the church, and they must have been so confused why the thing just wasn't sorted out. So these are some of the really important reasons. But how do you do it? What's the practical way of doing it? Well, the key, according to Paul in this letter, is about thinking. Have the same mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. So many thoughts flood through our minds, don't they? But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, he says, we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You see, this example that Paul has given them in this letter is of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It really hurt Jesus to go to the cross for us. It wasn't easy. Remember Gethsemane. But he did it because he wanted to be obedient to the Father. And there are times when we need to be obedient and it hurts. It says in the Psalms that we must keep our word even when it hurts. We must live lives which are true, even when it's not convenient. And no one finds forgiveness easy. But the Lord Jesus commands us to do it. And in our thought life, we reject thoughts which are, let's just not bother. It doesn't really matter. It does matter. It's affecting our fellowship with others. It's affecting our fellowship with the Lord. It's affecting our example. Another thing that Paul brings out in the letter is not just about thinking, but imitation. Paul says, in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, imitate me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I follow Christ. And so, what do we know about Christ? What do we know about God? That he's a God of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says these famous words about what love is. And it's not talking primarily about human love. It's talking about God's love that we are to imitate. And it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. I think we all know how difficult that is. There's a famous dispute in church history between two famous evangelists in the 19th century. One was called John Wesley, and one was George Whitefield. And when they came to the reconciliation, John Wesley was conditional about it. He said, yes, we forgive each other, but I want you to recognize that I was right and you were wrong, basically. And they never had close fellowship, although they did say that the matter was over, but they never enjoyed close fellowship again. But guess who took George Whitefield's funeral? John Wesley. So George wanted John to take the funeral, and he spoke so lovingly of his friend that he'd been separated from for years and years and years. But the problem was that John said, only when you admit that I'm right. And the Bible says, don't keep a score. Rip up the scorecard. It's got to be 50-50. If it's 90-10, it's going to be so much harder to reconcile. Leave it with God. God knows the score. Leave it with him and reconcile. And there's so much more that I could say, but I think the best thing is for us to just look at Jesus, to look at Jesus, to look at what he's done for us. And the words run out, but the bread and the wine, just help us to do that. But just to recap on what I've been trying to say, it's about the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're a friend of the cross, you'll take up your cross and you will forgive people. And you will want to be reconciled to them because it pleases your Lord and Savior. I knew there was a final point. I've not got notes today. I knew there was a final point. And the final point is this. It's in Philippians 4, verse 3. It says, reconciled because their names are written in the book of life. You see, these two ladies are both going to heaven. And Paul says that their names are written in the book of life. Have you ever heard the phrase, life's too short? Life's too short. We'll soon be there. We'll soon be in glory. And when we're there, I guarantee we'll wish we did things differently when we see Jesus in all his glory. We'll say, why did we waste our time? Why did we waste our time? Let us pray. Father God, we simply want to come before you today, and in the brokenness of our world, we thank you that you entered into that brokenness. You entered into that brokenness and you gave yourself completely. And you said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I thank you, Lord, that while we were still sinners, when we didn't know what we were doing, that you forgave us. And for people that have hurt us, for people who, it appears, don't know what they're doing, help us to be like you and to forgive them. In Jesus' name, amen.